I appreciate Daniel leading us in the time of prayer. Not all of you have seen what we have done, which is before the service began, we gathered around and we prayed. And Daniel also prayed these words. He said, "Heavenly Father, as we receive your love, we are changed, transformed. And because we have received your love, Father, we get to love our neighbors." Did you not say that? Say yes. Thank you. Yeah. Don't make me a liar now. And he's so right. It is when in the person and the works, the grace of Jesus Christ, you receive the love of God. God says to you, "Victor, you don't deserve it. You are unworthy, but I accept you and I give you my grace. I love you. Not because you are good, but because I am good and generous." It's about his grace. And when that happens, when you grasp it, and when it takes hold of you, and you are transformed and changed in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you are able to. You get to, you want to, you desire to love your neighbors as yourselves. And that's why we have been on this series called Bless. B-L-E-S-S. Today is the last Sunday in the series. Let's review. What does each letter stand for? Now, we have also made this very user-friendly. Okay? So it comes with the pictures and the logos and the reminders. So let's say it together. B stands for? L stands for? E stands for? S stands for? And the last S stands for? Today it's all about sharing your story, sharing Jesus' story, and thereby you express the love of Jesus to your neighbors. I encourage you to use the sermon outline. You can find the sermon outline QR code in front of you, and those of you joining via live stream, point your camera there, and then you can download the sermon outline as well. Towards the end of the message, you also will have a chance to submit your questions for Q&A. I'll be reading the word of the Lord from John chapter 9. It is a really good story. You see, the Holy Spirit is such a good storyteller. And it's all true. This is not fictional, like my favorite movie, Manchester by the Sea. This is an actual account of something that actually happened. And Holy Spirit wants you to see the following characters. There's Jesus, obviously. And there is the blind man. He was born blind. And I want you to picture what he looks like. And there's also the Pharisees. Pharisees are the religious, zealous worshipers of God. They obey the word of God, the commandments of God, to the T. Okay, so now, to help you visualize this, how many of you own one of these? Only one, okay? Oh, two, okay, good. I haven't used these much. The only times that I have used them were on the airplane. You want to rest, and the lights are on, and, you know, people talking, music announcements, so I put earplugs and put these on, and I'm good to go. The second occasion is when my lovely wife is reading her favorite book in bed with the night light on. Then I put these on. Now, so imagine the man born blind. Like so. Daniel, put your hand up. How many fingers are you showing? How many Daniels? How many Daniels are there? I can't see nothing. Okay, now. So, Is the blind man standing or is he sitting? In the story, he's born blind. What's his occupation? I'm sorry? Okay, his occupation is that of beggar. Okay. Is he begging, standing, or sitting? So he's sitting. Okay. Where is he sitting? Is he sitting in a crowded area or in an isolated, remote place? Crowded. Why? Because he's begging, right? So he wants people to give money. So do you have this picture in your mind? Yes? Okay, all right. Then let's receive the word of the Lord. John chapter 9. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, picture it as I read it. As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They thought his blindness was a result of someone's sin. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is a day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, picture it, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, Nah. He only looks like him." But he himself, the blind man, insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Pharisees, the religious leaders, and they also had power. Okay? They were zealous for God's commandments. They lived by the Bible, and they were in control. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath, the day on which you're not supposed to work. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man, Jesus, is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath law. He worked, he performed." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He's a prophet. Prophet, a man from God." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he's our son," the parents answered. "And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. Ask him. Ask our son. He's of age. He will speak for himself. Yeah. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, would be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated, expelled. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. Would you join me in reading verse 24? This is a key verse in the whole story. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind, give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Okay. Ready? He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Thank you. Verse 26, then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, Jesus, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. You were born blind because of your sin, as it were. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, because he was looking for him, when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus answered. He said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. This is amazing. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment, really interesting, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Let me read it one more time. So profound. For judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? What? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes? Yes. I pray this prayer every Sunday for my family at Mosaic House Church. And I say it again. Would you open our eyes that we may see Jesus and worship him? To that end, use this sinner who was once blind but now sees. In the name of Christ, amen. Write these words in your sermon outline, the theme and the goal. When Jesus opens your eyes, you share your story. When the Lord Jesus, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, when he opens your eyes, because you're blind, this is what happens. You share your story. You tell others the same story. I was blind, but now I see. I couldn't see before, but the Lord Jesus opened my eyes. I see now. Can I tell you, share my story? I have 3 points. I want to unpack this theme and goal. Okay? Number one, you are spiritually blind. Let's write that down. Spiritually blind, you are spiritually blind. Verse 39, Jesus said to the Pharisees, to everyone, and he's saying this to you, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Okay? What am I wearing? Somebody over here, what am I wearing? Sweater and jeans. I'm sorry? You can see what I'm wearing because you have a sight that you see the reality of this world, right? I mean, I am real, you are real, you have eyes, you have sight, so you can see what I'm wearing, right? Okay? There's also something called cognitive sight, okay? Do you see how I'm feeling? Someone from the loft. Do you see how I'm feeling? How am I feeling today? Are you deaf? Cheerful. Cheerful. Now, you didn't see that with your eyes, did you? You saw that via the observation. So that's this cognitive sight. Okay? Right? So, physical sight, mental, cognitive sight. And there is the spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. And that's why Jesus is talking about this spiritual sight. When you have it, you see the reality of who you are truly in your nature. And you also see the reality of who God is in his true nature. And you will also see and recognize how you get into this personal loving relationship with God the Father in heaven. That's the spiritual sight, cognitive sight, and physical sight. So when Jesus says, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see, like the man in the story, he was both physically blind. He couldn't see what you're wearing, right? He was also cognitive blind. He couldn't see the reality, so he could not make interpretations or make sense. But most importantly, he couldn't see the spiritual reality as to his true nature and who God is and how he may be loved and accepted by God of heaven. All right? Whoa, that's bright. And then Jesus says, and those who see will become blind. Those who see will see no longer. And what he's talking about is this. That's the spiritual sight. It's a spiritual blindness. Only those who recognize they are spiritually blind, they will see Jesus. And those who claim they have the spiritual eyesight, they recognize the nature of who they are. They recognize who God is and how they could come into a loving relationship with God the Father in heaven, the King of all kings. When you claim that you could actually see, then Jesus says, nope, you're blind. You are blind. It's kind of ironic, very subversive. Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this, asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Okay, let's talk about the Sabbath. Jesus healed a man born blind, right? The Pharisees, the religious leaders, who are these people? They literally believed that the Bible, the Old Testament, is the Word of God. And if you obey the Bible, if you obey God, if you obey and observe all the decrees and the commandments and the stipulations of God as revealed in the Old Testament and the Bible, they believed they would be made right before God, that God would accept them, that God would love them, and God would bless them. So obey, perform, then you'll be blessed. That's Pharisees. And the Lord said, "You shall work 6 days of the week. I'm going to give you health. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you opportunities so that you may work. I'm going to provide for you as a plumber, as a professor, as an insurance agent. You work 6 days, right? But on the Sabbath day, God says what? Rest. Thou shalt not work." Why not? Why not? Why does the Lord say, 6 days you shall labor, work, I'm going to provide for you your livelihood, but on the seventh day, on the Sabbath, you must not work? Why? Number one, you need rest, obviously. Hence, Sabbath, rest. That's what it means, rest. But also, not only rest from your physical tiredness, rest from your own effort to put yourself in the place of God. Case in point. You know anyone who works 7 days a week? Yeah? I know some people. Do they want to do that? Not really. But why do they feel compelled to do it? I'll tell you why. Number one reason, I think there could be other reasons. Number one reason, if I don't work 7 days, I can't provide for my family. If I don't work 7 days, there won't be enough. So therefore, I must take the matters into my own hands, and I must work 7 days. That's number one reason. Not the only reason, but the number one reason, the people I know choose to work 7 days. Okay, now, in some situations, your employer will demand that you work on Sabbath. Some do that. Okay? I have a story of a friend of mine, good friend of mine. He was commanded to work by his boss on Sundays. I think it was like once every 3 weeks or so. Okay, and he really, really, really was feeling torn about that because he wanted to rest from working. He wanted to put his trust in Jesus. Did you hear that? He wanted to say, "Lord Jesus, I put my trust in you as my provider, rather than taking the matters into my own hands and working 7 days a week so that I can provide for my family and for me. No, no, no. I don't want to trust in me. I want to trust in you." You see? So, he asked his employer, "Sabbath keeping is important to me. I get to worship my God, and I get to worship my God with my people, and I get to invite my friends to worship my God with my people. Can I please? I'm a good worker. I work hard. You know that." "Yes, I do." "Then would you please, please, please? I will work on Saturdays, but don't make me work on Sunday." The HR said no. And my friend said, "Oh yeah? I quit." They came back. Said, "Oh, no, 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 no. You are such a good worker. Tell you what. we will grant what you ask for. So, to the story. Sabbath is just that, friends. Rest from your own effort to be your own God. You trust the Lord Jesus that he will provide. And on Sabbath, you gather together and worship your God, Jesus. That's it. Okay? Now, how did Jesus heal the man born blind? He spit on the mud and made clay, disgusting, put some of the mud on his face, you big disgrace, and he said, go and wash your face. Right? Okay? Question. Look, when you go to the Bible, you gotta ask questions. A disciple of Jesus is not measured by the answers he, she gives, but by the questions he, she asks. Question to you. Could Jesus have opened the eyes of the blind just by saying so? Thy, be opened. Could he have done that? I believe so. He's the Lord. He's the divine healer. He's the Messiah. He says, your eyesight will be restored now. Then why would Jesus why? It was not necessary. Why? He did that to make a point. He did that to reach out to the Pharisees. Because now the Pharisees said what? Uh-oh, Jesus is not from God. He worked on Sabbath. He labored on Sabbath. And therefore, he is not from God. He is a sinner. You must not listen to him. Jesus is making a point. He's saying, the spirit of the law on Sabbath is to bring you back to God. But instead, Pharisees, here's their blindness. Are you ready? They obeyed the letter of the law, as in, they made rules. So on Sabbath, you cannot work, God said. So they made rules. It's not from the Bible. They came up with their own application of the rule. Like, you can't cook on Sunday. Therefore, because cooking is work. So what do? They cooked the night before. Okay, you can't work on Sabbath. Now, therefore, performing, opening the eyes of the blind is considered work. And that's why they were saying that Jesus is not from God, but a sinner. Okay, now, before we go on, let me ask you this. Here's how you know that you are spiritually blind. Okay? If you say, I can see clearly, I have my sight, I can see physically, I can see cognitively, I can also see spiritually, saying, I don't need a Savior. That's the Pharisees. We are performing, obeying the law of God, and therefore, we are not blind. We don't need a Savior. We don't need a Messiah. We don't need anyone to open our eyes because we can see already. The worst kind of blindness is the blindness that says you are not blind. Let me just make one point. How do you know if you are spiritually blind? If you say, I don't need Jesus to see spiritually. I don't need Jesus to open my eyes. I don't need Jesus to tell me who God is and who I am, that I don't need a Savior. If you think that, guess what? You are spiritually blind. So would you please turn to your neighbor and ask this question? Can you think of a time when you were spiritually blind? Turn to your neighbor and ask. Okay, thank you, again. The theme and the goal is this. When Jesus opens your eyes, you share your story. Second point. Jesus opens your eyes by his grace. Jesus opens your eyes by his grace. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he, what? Worshipped him. Was the blind man asking Jesus, "Would you please open my eyes?" Nope. Was the blind man seeking Jesus saying, "I am spiritually blind and you are the Messiah. Would you open my eyes?" Nope. He was not asking those. On that day, it was the day just like the day before. He was sitting and begging for money because he's blind. It was on that day Jesus approached him. Jesus opened his eyes. And then when Jesus found out that the Pharisees had thrown him out, he sought after him. Who was seeking him? Who was seeking whom? Was the man seeking Jesus, or was Jesus seeking the blind man? That's right. Friends, you are not seeking God. You are not looking for Jesus. He's looking for you. He's coming for you. And when he found the man, then conversation begins. Now, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Jews believed, rightly so, correctly so, in the Old Testament, when the Messiah, when the Savior comes, he will set the prisoners free. He will set the captives free. And then he will open, guess what? He will open the eyes of the blind. They knew that. They heard of it, and they believed it. They said, "Who is the Son of Man? Who is the Messiah?" Jesus says, "I am he." Then the man said, "Lord, I do believe," and worshiped him. Friends, this is astounding. There's no way that a Jewish man 2,000 years ago would worship another man who's standing. The number one law in the Judaism is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is one. Worship the Lord and only the Lord. They never thought Messiah would be divine. They thought Messiah may be a savior, he will deliver us, but they never thought the Messiah would be divine, that God himself. But he looked. The Holy Spirit opened his eyes, and he recognized that not to the extent that we ourselves have theology today about Jesus, but he recognized the man who opened his eyes. This man is not only from God, but he is divine, and he worshiped him. When Jesus comes to you, when he opens your eyes, it's not because you and I are good enough. It's not because we have done enough obedience. No. It's by the sheer grace gift of Jesus Christ that he opens your eyes. Question. Would you turn to your neighbor again and ask, has Jesus opened your eyes? If not, would you like him to open your eyes? Go at it. I'll give you 1 minute. Okay, let's resume again. The theme and the goal is what? When Jesus opens your eyes, you share your story. So first point was, you were spiritually blind. Second point, Jesus, by his grace, his gift, not based on your performance, he opens your eyes. And third, here's the response from us to Jesus. We share our story. We tell everyone, I was once blind, but now I see. And the moment you heard me say, we get to share our story, I knew exactly what you were feeling. Can I tell you? Uh-oh. Jesus wants me to tell my story to my neighbors. Uh-oh. I have some difficulties. I have some obstacles. I am reluctant. Some of you feel that way. You know how I know? I have the cognitive eye. I can see right through you. So let me respond to that. Number one reason is I don't have what it takes, right? Some of you, don't raise your hand. How many of you would agree to this statement? I don't have what it takes. So therefore, I am reluctant to share my story with my friends, my colleagues, and my friends. Some of you are here. Okay? What's the response? Okay. First response is this. Trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not about you, friends. It's not. You feel reluctant because you make it about you. It's about the Lord Jesus, and it's about the people that you are trying to love. You are putting yourself in the center of the universe again, as I often do. Trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Jesus says in the gospel, when you believe me, excuse me, Jesus says, when you follow me, when people persecute you, throw you into jail, don't worry about what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, so trust the Holy Spirit. Second, you are the expert when it comes to your story. You are the expert when it comes to your story. Jeremy, may I? What's your favorite movie? I'm sorry? The Avengers. All right, okay. See. No, it ain't. No one can say that. It's your story. You are the expert. No one can deny what I may say. Well, Jeremy, that's the dumbest movie I ever watched. But can I deny that it's his favorite movie? No, I can't. It's his story, and he is the expert. They may say, I find your story not all that interesting. They could say that. But one thing they cannot say is, that never happened. Because you are the expert, it actually happened to you. You were once blind, but now you see. Second obstacle. I don't want to impose my beliefs on my friends. Some of you feel that way? You know, we are enlightened people, and we respect people's opinions, and I don't want to impose my beliefs about Jesus on my friends. Well, don't. Don't impose. Here's the response. Don't preach. Just share your story. Don't make debates and arguments. Just say, hey, may I share with you my story? You're not imposing, you are simply sharing. You know what's imposing? You must believe what I must believe. You must believe what I believe, and you must deny what you believe. That's imposing. Okay? Don't preach, just share. Here's one of my favorite quotes about sharing your stories and evangelism. Listen, Sharing your story is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. If I said to you, I'm a beggar, I'm homeless, I'm hungry, and so are you. If I said, hey, Daniel, second Daniel, hey, Daniel, I found food, 23rd Avenue and 111th Street. You go. Would you say, oh, Victor, you are imposing on me? No, he would not, because it's one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Third obstacle. Sharing my story makes me feel uncomfortable. Sharing my story makes me feel uncomfortable. What's my response? Number one, acknowledge your obstacle and overcome it by focusing on loving Jesus and your neighbor. You know what? I respect that you feel uncomfortable telling your story. Okay? I wonder why, though, because now you're making it about yourself. When I tell Daniel where to find food, I don't feel uncomfortable. In fact, I'm focusing on him. There's plenty of food. He's hungry. He's cold. He's tired. I found food. Daniel, go get some food. Why would you feel uncomfortable saying that? Because you're making it about you. Now, nonetheless, just acknowledge it. I feel uncomfortable, but Lord, help me to overcome it. When Jesus opens your eyes, you share your story. So let's practice. Sharing your story has three parts. Three parts. Part number one, your life before you saw Jesus. When you were spiritually blind, that's your life. You tell that part. Part scene one. Part two, scene number two, share with them how you saw Jesus. How did Jesus open your eyes? How did Jesus open your eyes? And part three, your life after you saw Jesus. So, before you saw Jesus, how you saw Jesus, and what is your life like now that you see Jesus? Some of you are saying, well, but I don't remember the time that I was not a believer. You see? I don't know how to tell part one, the life before Jesus. Okay? Well, some of you feel that way. Here's what you ask. Imagine your life if you didn't have Jesus. Imagine Jesus was not in your life. Imagine he was not your Lord, he was not your Savior, he was not your God. How would you face your life as a student, as a mom, as a single, as an aging person? How would you handle the challenges of your life if Jesus was not in your life? Share that story. Okay? I'm coming to the conclusion now. Close. Okay? So there's one illustration, one method through which you can tell your story in three parts. It's called do versus done. Okay? Do versus done. Do is what you have to do. Every religion says you have to do it. You have to obey, you have to perform, you have to abide. You do exactly what God tells you. Then God will love you and accept you. Done is Jesus has obeyed. He has performed. He has followed the things that I couldn't have. It's been done for you, Victor, and therefore you come to Jesus. You see the difference? Do versus done. Do is self-righteousness, Pharisees. Done is, I need a Savior. Someone has to obey and fulfill the requirements of the commandments of God. Jesus has done it, and I received that as gift, and now I follow him. Okay? So, that's how you share your story. The theme and the goal, when Jesus opens your eyes, you share your story. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I pray that we thank you for convicting us that we are spiritually blind. I acknowledge it. I pray that we all do. Lord Jesus, I pray that you open the eyes, that you open the eyes of everyone here. I don't mean the physical and the cognitive sight. I mean the spiritual sight. I pray, O Lord, for my friends who just recognized, whose eyes are open by the preaching of your word. Friends, if you have not professed with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I was blind, now I see. Because of you, now I follow you for the first time in my life. I follow you as my God. I follow you as my Lord. I do believe and I do worship. Friends, will you say that in your hearts? Say it in your own words. And receive the gift of our Lord. Father, I also pray for the rest of us that we will have the courage and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to share our story. It's not about us. It's not. It's about the Lord Jesus and the neighbors that we want to love. So give us courage. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you put the number to which they may submit their questions, please? I was once blind, but now I see. Is the giving of spiritual sight a permanent thing? What if we feel like there are times when we become blind again? Is that the receiving the spiritual eyesight, is that permanent? Or can we become blind again? I take the question to mean actually two different things. Is it asking, can we be saved once and lose our salvation later? And or, we receive the spiritual eyesight, but are there times when in our faith journey that our eyesight becomes dull? Okay? Now, to the first question, can we lose our salvation? And the Bible is very, 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 very clear. If you did not earn it, if you did not work for it, but it was given to you, why would it be taken away again? Okay. Right? If salvation, Ephesians 2, you are saved by grace through faith, this not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, therefore no one can boast. So salvation is, I am saved not by own performance, but by the done work, not do, done work of Jesus Christ, and therefore, how would I lose it? So I believe, therefore, once you receive the spiritual eyesight, it's a permanent thing. To the second aspect, I think yes. I think even though the spiritual sight is given, it's permanent, there are times that eyesight becomes dull because of my own doing, I believe. So when you think about your own spiritual journey, there are times that you saw Jesus clearly, right? And then there are times that you didn't see him as clearly or vividly. And I don't know if I don't think that's because he hid himself, veiled himself. Probably it was because of the fact that we walked away. We may have put on this again. Okay, last one. What is the B illustration in the sermon notes? B illustration. I don't have time to tell you. The reason I skipped it was I ran out of time. It's in the sermon notes. It's in my transcript. I don't have time, so therefore, I'm not going to answer that question now. Would you please rise? Would you please rise? And sing the song. It's the classic song. It's the grace of Jesus. I was once blind, but now I see.